In today's gospel, Christ restores hearing and speech to a man without them. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself, away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears, and spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," this is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Alice Walker is a Black American woman, poetess, and author. She wrote some years ago now that wonderful novel, A Color Purple, which won the Pulitzer Prize that year and then was made into a movie, which ultimately won an Academy Award. She really writes about growing up as a Black person in the South. She wrote a number of short stories, and one of them, I think, throws some light on the gospel today. A short story called Meridian. Now, Meridian is the name of a little Black girl about 8 or 9 years old. And one day, Meridian is out playing, and she digs up a gold bar, something that must have been buried during the Civil War or some other time, but she digs up a gold bar. She's so excited. She runs into the house, out on the back porch. Her mother's doing something. "Mommy, Mommy, look, a gold bar. We're going to be rich." Mother looks at it and says, "That's not a gold bar. That's not a gold bar. But it is. No, it's not a gold bar." Her father won't believe her. Her brother thinks she's crazy. Her uncle doesn't believe her. She knows it's a gold bar, but nobody else believes her. So she brings it out, she digs a hole and puts it back in the ground. And every month or so, she goes out and digs it up again and looks at it, be sure it's there. But nobody will believe her that it's a gold bar. So bit by bit, her monthly visits become longer and longer spaced. And as she gets a little bit older, bit by bit, she doesn't visit it at all. And ultimately, she forgets about it, maybe doesn't even believe it's a gold bar anymore. All because nobody else would believe it was a gold bar. Now, in this morning's gospel, when Jesus heals this man who is deaf and mute, there's two reasons why he does that. First of all, he wants to restore him to his family. Deafness, especially in those days, was a terrible affliction. So he wants to restore him to full life, yes. But he has another motive for making him hear again as well. He wants him to be able to hear the word of God. He wants to restore his hearing so he can hear God's word and base his life on it. Now, those of you who were baptized as infants, most of us don't remember this, but we probably saw it at other baptisms. Remember that when we were baptized, the priest or the deacon came to us, he put his finger on our ear, and he said, "Ephphatha, be opened. May your ear be opened so that you may hear the word of God." See, hearing is given to us that we can hear God's word and base our lives on it. The difficulty for us today, I think, is this. We can hear God's word, know that it's like a bar of gold, precious. But because so many other people ignore that word or don't believe in it, we can begin to question it ourselves. We can begin to bury it, so to speak, and not pay it any attention anymore. We hear the word, but because so many other people ignore it, won't believe it, we tend to start believing it ourselves. I'll just offer you two examples of that today. The first is this. Do you believe that you are a totally unique, beloved son or daughter of God? You believe that about yourselves. Now, in the scripture, Christ tries to make that clear in so many different ways. Remember one time he's addressing the crowds and he says to them, "Not a sparrow falls from the sky without my Father's knowing it. And you are worth more than a flock of sparrows." What he's saying there poetically is, every one of you is just so precious to my Father. Remember, someplace else Jesus says, I always found this very consoling, by the way, this next saying. He says, "Not a hair falls from your head without your Father's permission." The point is, again, each of us precious to God. Remember the story of the lamb that runs away, the lost sheep, and how the shepherd leaves the 99 to go out looking for that one stupid sheep. But see, that one is us, each of us precious. Do you believe that about yourself? See, because I think in our society, a lot of people don't believe that about themselves. They don't believe that word. Our society teaches us too often, doesn't it, that if you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, not a good enough athlete, don't make enough money, there's something wrong with you. We can begin to believe that about ourselves. Bury the word of God. We have to hear that word and not bury it, even when others don't believe it. We have to build our lives on that. Second example, if it's true that each one of us is totally precious to God, then isn't that true of everybody else as well? Do we understand that every single other person is a beloved son or daughter of God as well? And that we have to treat them that way. Because you see, in our society today, and I think probably been true throughout history, but we see it today so many ways. We are taught by society as a whole to be afraid and have disdain for the other. Those who are different from us, those who have different color skin, speak a different language, have different customs, the people who are other, who are different, we're afraid of them. We should be afraid of them, we're taught. We should want to rid ourselves of them. We're taught that all the time in various ways. I read about recently an election that took place over in Germany, one of their state elections, in the state of Thuringia. Thuringia is part of what used to be East Germany. And in that election, the party that got the most votes was called the Alternative for Germany Party. It's a very right-wing conservative party. At their rallies, the leaders of the party would begin chanting and people would pick it up, things like this: "Foreigners out, foreigners out." they'd be, you know, their platform would involve things like not having the blood, the pure blood, diluted by those other people. But talk about the homeland as if it were the most important thing of all. Foreigners out, pure blood, the homeland. What's that sound like to you? Nazis. You know, that party got the most votes in that state. Now, how did those people get to that point? The Word of God makes it clear that we're all precious. Now, think about Jesus. You know, at the time of Jesus, the Jewish people believed, rightly so, that they were the chosen people. But what they had forgotten was that God chose them so that through them he could offer his salvation to the whole world. They had forgotten that. They were only concerned about themselves. They were the chosen people. Everybody else was inferior to them. So when Jesus comes along, look at what he tries to remind them of. Remember today he goes into the house of the Roman centurion to heal the Roman centurion's slave. Why would he do that? The Romans were occupying forces. The Jewish people hated them. Why would he go into a Roman centurion's house? Well, because the Roman centurion was a precious child of God. But they'd forgotten that. Remember the Canaanite woman? She's a pagan. She pleads with him to heal her daughter who's possessed. He does that. Why would he do that for that person, for that different, other pagan person? Because that pagan person was precious to God. See, the Word of God had been forgotten, buried in the ground. Is that happening today? What's happening over in Germany? It sounds like it's happening over there to me. The problem is, we find echoes of that in our own country today. Echoes of the same thing. Remember a few years ago now when that horrible incident took place down in Charlottesville, Virginia? Remember all the skinheads and the white supremacists marching along? What were they chanting? You will not replace us. You will not replace us. Who's the us? Who's the you? Anybody with a different color skin? Foreigner. You will not replace us. We're going to get rid of you. See, do we get influenced by that attitude, that Word of God, the fact that so many people won't accept the Word of God, do we bury it ourselves? You know, there's a big debate going on in our country about safeguarding our borders. Every country has to safeguard their borders. You have to have sane policy of immigration. And we can debate politically, and we should, what the best policies are for that. I don't have an answer for that. But I can tell you this. If our policies are based on fear of the other, hatred of the other, looking at the other as something to be gotten rid of, then we're burying the Word of God. We're burying the Word of God in that case. So as we gather here today, let's ask ourselves the question. Whether it's believing our own preciousness or believing about the preciousness of every other person, do we hear the Word of God and do we base our lives on it? Because if we don't, you know what? If we don't, we might as well be deaf. If we don't, we might as well be deaf. May God bless you.